few weeks, we're going to be focusing on this brand new people that God calls us to be. So that those who are outside this body of believers will come to know and experience the very heart of God. And so that we as God's people can celebrate what God is doing. Just listen to these words from our gospel reading for today. Just so, Jesus says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, she was one of 1,000 workers in a Chinese factory. She was in her 20s, well-educated, had gone to school, but she was looking for something more in her life. When a friend gave her a CD with a sermon on it, a series of sermons actually, from a well-known pastor from America. Well, she took that CD and she listened to it. And as she listened to it, she became intrigued and she couldn't stop listening to it. She listened to it over and over again. And as she listened, she was moved by the gospel. She was moved by the good news that she was hearing, good news that she had never heard before. The good news of a God who created her and who loved her. The good news of a God who forgives her sins and her brokenness. The good news of a God who came to rescue her. This good news, this gospel, had an impact on this young woman's life, so much so that she asked Jesus to save her and to come and live inside of her. But this faith also began to change her. This good news that she had experienced and she sought to live out began to show in her life. As she was willing to set aside things from her old life and begin a brand new way of life. But for her, it meant a life of sacrifice. Riding on a bus for over 2 hours to get to the nearest church to hear more about this good news. Going alone because she had no one else in her life that she knew who followed Jesus. Taking a risk for just attending, for reading the Bible, for even talking about her faith. And then something miraculous happened. You see, one day, a famous American preacher was touring her factory that she worked in. The same one whose CD she had heard over and over again. And she was able to have conversation with him. She was able to ask him anything that she wanted to ask. And you know what she asked this well-known pastor from America? She asked this question. Why doesn't everyone in America go to church? He didn't have an answer. I must say, through the years, I've often wondered about that too. I know, you know, everybody's busy. There's soccer and there's shopping and there is me time. I mean, I know that people in this generation have more means than a few generations ago that enables them to travel and to recreate and to do their own thing. also know that people are hurting, filled with guilt and shame, probably filled with a little bit of fear of being found out. But why, I thought, why wouldn't they want to come to church? To a place of community where we recognize that, yeah, we've blown it, we've messed up, and we say it to one another, we say it to God. We recognize that we're people in need. I wonder, why wouldn't people come to the church, to a place of love and forgiveness? Certainly not perfect, but something that we strive for, something that we seek to be about. I've often wondered, why won't people come to the church, to a place of hope in a world that seems so hopeless? Well, maybe the reason people are staying away is possibly because we in the church are still holding on to the things that tend to hold us back. Because if you think about it, the things that people tend to actually resist about the church are things that we in the church should resist. Like being uncaring and unwelcoming and judgmental. But this way of thinking isn't anything new. We see it played out today very clearly in our gospel reading. The church folks looking down on the sinners. You see, in many ways, you and I have wandered from God's truth, and there are consequences to that. There's consequences in our own life, there's consequences in our family life, there's even consequences in the life of the church. But you see, it doesn't have to be this way as we seek to do something new, brand new, as we seek to be people who are following in the way of Jesus together. Because you see, that's what we've said as people who gather around God's word, who gather around Jesus, who want him in the center of our life. We've said, this is what we want to do. This is our mission. This is what we're all about, to keep Jesus in the center of our lives. But we tend to go back to our old ways, don't we? Even though we know that keeping Jesus in the center is better, it's easier that way. Even though we know that it changes us, who we are and how we live. And yet we find ourselves going back. And that's why today we are called to let go of our old way of thinking and living and hold on to this one who has come for us. Because you see, we have Jesus' promise that when we hold on to him, he'll take care of the rest. From Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Put me in the center and I'll take care of everything else. And knowing that Jesus has sought us out, we can begin to be those people that he's called us to be, who are ready and willing to put Jesus in the center of everything we do. Our home life, our work life, our whole life. Taking him with us as we go out on a mission. As we step out of this place, a mission of love and action to our neighbors, to the next generation, so that they too can experience this life-changing love of God and follow Jesus too. Well, we've all gotten them, at least in my house. I think everyone in our house has gotten one except for our youngest, Eli. I'm talking about tickets, traffic tickets. We've gotten them for speeding. I think that was the two older kids, if I recall. Careless driving, that's me. I backed out of the driveway and ran into the postal truck, not the postman, all right? And then there's the ticket for not stopping for pedestrians in the crosswalk. And I won't tell you who did that, but... And here's the deal with tickets. You can fight them in court, or you can pay the fine and move on. Sometimes I think it's better to do just that. Maybe ask Richard Keedwell of Yate, England. You see, back in 2016, he was pulled over for speeding. 35 and a 30. It wasn't a big deal, but whatever, the cop was a little anxious that day and gave him a ticket for $120. But here's the thing, he refused to pay it. So he went to court. He went to court four times to the lower court and once to the, I guess they call it the royal court over there. But he never won his case. And here's the deal, he ended up paying almost $40,000 in lawyer fees and court costs. I guess he's trying to make a point. But I think it'd be fair to say that you and I, we can get caught up, can't we? Get caught up in our old way of thinking, our old way of living. Now, the Pharisees in our gospel reading for today sure did. Caught up in that old way of thinking, old way of living. You see, they saw Jesus, and they saw him hanging around the tax collectors and the sinners, and the scripture says that they grumbled about it. This guy who claims to be the Messiah, who has come from God, is hanging around with these kinds of folks. I mean, but it's more than just hanging around. You see, the scripture says that he welcomed them. The Greek word actually means he embraced them, put his arms around them. Ooh, how could Jesus, this holy man, be around people such as this? And then to share a dinner table with them. Holy smokes, what in the world is going on? You see, this went against everything that they believed in. It went against everything about the old system that they knew so well, with its rules and its regulations, with its exclusivity, with its self-reliance. You see, Jesus, through his words and his deeds, was introducing Roman numeral 1, a new way of thinking. Because you see, Jesus had come to do a new thing. He had come to fulfill the law with its rules and regulations. He had come to open the kingdom of God to all people. He had come to give of himself for us. As he comes for us, as a shepherd seeks out his flock. And yet we struggle with this new way of thinking as we add old things back into the new that Jesus has come to bring. As we point number one, as we hold on to the old system, what is often called the temple model. And if you think about most world religions, this is how they function, right? This temple model, and it probably sounds familiar. It's got a sacred place, a sacred text, sacred men, and sincere believers. All right? Isn't that how most religions work, right? You've got that sacred place, And you don't, you know, you can't, you can and can't do certain things there. These sacred writings that tell us what to do and what not to do. These sacred men who try to enforce these writings and keep people out of that sacred space who don't belong there. And then you have these followers of this model. And when you think about the church, isn't that what most of us think about? Right? We have a sacred place, a sacred text, and a sacred man, and sincere followers. And aren't we guilty, though, of often holding on to that old system? To what makes us comfortable, to what we're used to what has become rites and rituals. Now, this old system was certainly familiar to Jesus. It was the way of the world into which he came, wasn't it? I mean, the temple was right there in Jerusalem. It was sacred space, and there were only sacred people who could go into it, a certain amount of people who belonged and those who didn't. This sacred space had sacred writings, the law, and the prophets, and it was kind of ruled over by sacred men, holy men. When you looked at their life like we did this morning, don't look all that holy at all. And then there are those sincere followers who are often following the wrong thing. Now here's what you got to understand. None of that is wrong in and of itself. Sacred place, sacred texts, sacred men, you know, sincere followers. It's not what we're talking about, being right or wrong. That's wrong in and of themselves. But let's face it, these things are often misused. And as a result of that, it keeps us and others from experiencing the real life that our God wants to give. But it doesn't have to be this way. It was never meant to be this way, as we learn, point number two, to put Jesus in the center. Because you see, he came to do a new thing. To do what we couldn't do for ourselves. To bring life and hope. To bring us salvation. As Jesus has become God with us. Not a temple, but actually a person. And here's the amazing thing. This person breathes his spirit into us, and we are now those living temples, those living sacred places. Because you see, Jesus didn't come to create a building or a structure, but Jesus, you see, is creating a movement. A movement that is going out, not coming in, but going out to our families and to our neighbors and to our community and to our world. I mean, just remember the last words that Jesus spoke to his followers before he ascended into heaven. He said, "Go and make disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He didn't say, "Go build a temple," did he? He said, "Go out into the world." You see, Jesus isn't concerned about the place, but he has authorized the movement because he is the one who has fulfilled the old covenant, giving us a new one. Now, the old covenant was with Israel, God's chosen people, and the promise was that he would send a Savior. Well, he did. And so Jesus institutes a new covenant that is for all. And that covenant plays itself out on the cross, where Jesus would shed his blood to make us right with God. For there on the cross, Jesus would take our sin, he would die our death, he would fulfill the very word of God as the living word of God, keeping every commandment for us so that we can now live the new life that he wants for us. And what is that new life? It's pretty simple. He wants us to live a life of love. A love for God and a love for our neighbor. For you see, what Jesus is doing is entirely new. It's completely new. It is totally new. And now he is calling us into this new way of life. As we humble ourselves, confessing our sins, as we put our trust in him, as we rejoice in what he is doing. Because you see, you and I have been invited to join the celebration. And we have been invited to invite others into this celebration. Now, I think we all know that every company these days has one, a brand, right? You see the golden arches and you know McDonald's, right? Or, you know, an apple with a bite out of it and it's iPhone and iPad and all that stuff. And then there's the blue and yellow and block letters and you think Sweden, meatballs, and IKEA. The church has a brand too. The sad thing is that many people are turned off by it. As they see the church as living in the old system, unwelcoming, uncaring, unloving. Well, God, you see, wants to do something new, and in Jesus he has, brand new. And it's time for us to do a little rebranding as we follow Jesus into Roman numeral 2, a new way of living. As we learn, point number one, to let go. To let go of a system. Because you see, Jesus wants a relationship with you and me. It's time to let go of our fears. Well, we got to have the system in order for it to work. Well, you know what? For 300 years, they had no system. And boy, let me tell you, the church exploded, didn't it? It went crazy. The problem was they started to add back in that old system and things started to turn in the opposite direction. It's time to let go of our past failures. Yeah, we've blown it in the church. Paul talks about that. He said, I've blown it, and yet God can still use me. And God can and will still use us as we trust that God can use us as we start to see point number two, the church in a new way. As we start to see the church not as a building or a place we go on Sunday or a denomination, but we see the church as a movement of God's people filled with his spirit, impacting lives and families and cultures, as we start to see point number three, others in a new way. As people who belong in their struggles, in their brokenness, in their confusion. Because let's face it, that's us. But let's see others as people who belong, so that they can begin to experience a new way of life as they come to believe these promises of God. This God who gives life and who gives meaning and who gives hope and empowers them as he has empowered us to become the very people of God who keep Jesus in the center of our lives, so that we can show the world that following Jesus means we are people of love. There's reason to rejoice. God's doing a new thing. Jesus, our good shepherd, has found us and now empowers us to join him in a new way of life and a new way of living, as we live as people of love, as we are people who are following Jesus together in a new way of life, in a new way of living. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Why don't we stand?